Chapter 1, The Mental Operating System. The default settings we never chose. I was about 5 years old when our house burned down. I can still see it in my mind, everything we owned turned to ash. The flames devoured our possessions, but something unexpected happened in the aftermath. White people, those my father had taught me to be wary of, arrived in pickup trucks loaded with items I had never seen before. A refrigerator with cooling elements on top. Clothes that weren't hand-me-downs. Penny loafers to replace my brogans. My little brother, innocent as children are, said something that infuriated my mother. Maybe we should burn our house down again. He didn't understand the programming already taking place, the subtle mental operating system being installed that would shape how we process the world. Across town, Marisol Gonzalez was learning her own default settings. Her father had crossed the Rio Grande with nothing but the clothes on his back and a promise to his family that he would send for them. For 3 years, he worked fields from sunup to sundown, sleeping in crowded shacks with other men who shared the same dream. When he finally brought his family across, 7-year-old Marisol discovered what it meant to live between worlds, speaking Spanish at home while being punished for it at school, watching her mother clean houses for women who would never look her in the eye. You see, we don't choose the initial settings of our mental software. They're embedded before we have any say in the matter, installed by circumstance, enforced by society, and passed down through the blood of our ancestors. Some of us were programmed to fear, others to dominate, many to serve, but all of us entered this world with code we didn't write running in the background of our minds. For 450 years, people that looked like me were forced to develop an extraordinary mental capacity that went unrecognized by those who claimed superiority. For generations, people like Marisol's family crossed invisible lines drawn on maps, only to find new boundaries erected in minds. They gave me a new name at the border checkpoint, Marisol's grandmother would tell her. They couldn't pronounce Guadalupe, so I became Lupe. That day, I learned that in this new land, even your name isn't yours to keep. When you cannot live freely in the physical world, when your movement, speech, and even your thoughts are restricted, you learn to exist primarily in the mental dimension. You discover powers that those relying solely on physical dominance never develop. The Mexican mother who works 3 jobs while helping her children with homework is performing mental alchemy every day, converting exhaustion into determination. The slave masters believed they were creating submissive workers. What they actually created was a people with unprecedented mental resilience, people who, for generations, had to channel negative energy into something useful merely to survive. The border guards thought they were simply processing laborers, never understanding that each family crossing carried ancient wisdom that would eventually transform the very culture trying to exclude them. This programming isn't just personal, it's collective. The trauma experienced by your great-grandmother doesn't just disappear when she passes. It reshapes the nervous system, alters gene expression, transforms the very way her descendants process reality. When my father spoke of his grandfather surviving the Cat of Nine Tails, of being left for dead after a brutal flogging, I wasn't just hearing a story, I was receiving the mental code that would determine how I navigated the world. When Marisol's father wept silently at night, remembering the village he left behind and the parents he would never see again, he was transmitting a code of resilience that would live in his daughter's cells. The programming runs deep in all of us. The privileged are programmed to believe their status is earned rather than inherited. The oppressed are programmed to question their worth. The descendants of the traumatized carry memories their conscious minds never experienced but their bodies somehow remember. The child of immigrants inherits both the courage of crossing and the sorrow of leaving behind. But here's what most never realize: once you become aware of your programming, you gain the power to rewrite it. The very awareness that you're running on default settings becomes the key that unlocks the control panel of your mind. And when people from different struggles recognize their shared capacity for transformation, when the descendants of slaves and the children of immigrants realize they're running similar mental software, a new kind of power emerges. The three dimensions of experience. Most people live their entire lives confined to a single dimension of existence, the physical realm. They remain prisoners of what their eyes can see, their hands can touch, their ears can hear. They chase material possessions, physical pleasures, and tangible achievements, never realizing these are merely the shadows dancing on the wall of Plato's cave. My father, though he had only a fourth grade education, understood dimensions in ways that would confound university professors. When the white men in our town would strut about, waving their guns and flaunting their wealth, Daddy would just smile and say, "They're stuck in the physical world, son. That's why they need all those things, to convince themselves they're free when their minds are still in chains." The physical dimension is where most of humanity has been trained to dwell. It's the realm of the five senses: sight, sound, taste, touch, and smell. It's immediate and dominant, the dimension most easily manipulated by those who wish to control others. When slaves were shackled, it was their physical bodies that bore the chains, but their minds could still wander free. When the border wall goes up, it's only a barrier in the physical dimension, it cannot stop the flow of dreams, culture, or determination. But beyond the physical lies the mental dimension, the vast, boundless realm of thought, imagination, and consciousness itself. This is where true transformation begins. For the enslaved ancestors who were forbidden to read, the mental dimension became their sanctuary and salvation. For immigrants forced to leave their homeland behind, the mental dimension became the bridge that connected what was with what could be. The mental dimension cannot be observed under a microscope or detected by scientific instruments, yet it is more real, more powerful than anything in the physical world. Every invention, every revolution, every act of courage first existed here before manifesting in the physical. When our ancestors were forbidden to worship their gods, to speak their languages, to practice their customs, they preserved them in the mental dimension, passing them down through stories, through songs, through dreams. Mary Soul's grandfather told her, "They took our land, but they could never take the landscape of our minds." My grandmother would say, "They owned our bodies from sunup to sundown, but our minds belonged to God alone." Different words, same wisdom, evidence that truth transcends cultural boundaries. And beyond even the mental dimension lies the spiritual, the realm that connects us to forces larger than ourselves, to the ancestors who watch over us, to the divine energy that flows through all things. The spiritual dimension is not about religion, though religions attempt to access it. It's about recognizing that we are more than physical beings having mental experiences, we are spiritual beings navigating a physical world. When Rosa Parks refused to give up her seat, when Cesar Chavez fasted for justice, when Standing Rock protectors faced down water cannons in freezing temperatures, they were operating from the spiritual dimension, tapping into a power that transcends individual identity and connects to the collective soul of humanity. The tragedy of modern life is that most people are trapped in one-dimensional thinking. They live in the physical, occasionally visit the mental, and barely acknowledge the spiritual. They're like fish trying to understand water, so immersed in their default dimension that they cannot recognize the very medium that sustains them. Those who have borne the mark of oppression often develop the ability to exist simultaneously in all three dimensions out of necessity. When the physical world denies you freedom, you learn to find it in the mental. When the mental becomes too painful to bear alone, you discover the comfort of the spiritual. This is not mysticism, it is practical wisdom born of suffering and resilience. The person who can move fluidly between dimensions possesses a power that cannot be taken away by any physical force. This is why those who have been most oppressed often develop the greatest capacity for transformation. They have been forced, through hardship, to develop mental muscles that others never need to use. The age of mentality is upon us because humanity is collectively beginning to recognize what the oppressed have always known, that the physical dimension is merely the surface of reality, and the greater power lies in mastering the mental and spiritual dimensions where true freedom awaits. The age of mentality awakening. We are living in extraordinary times, though few recognize the true nature of this moment. While many fixate on the chaos of our world, the political divisions, the wealth disparities, the environmental crises, these are merely symptoms of a profound shift occurring beneath the surface of human consciousness. We are witnessing the dawn of the age of mentality. For centuries, humanity has been dominated by the physical realm. We conquered continents, built monuments, extracted resources, and waged wars, all expressions of our mastery over the material world. The Industrial Revolution, the Atomic Age, the Space Race, these were the culminating achievements of an era defined by physical power. But that age is ending. Look around you. The world's most valuable companies no longer produce physical goods, they create platforms for human thought and connection. The most powerful forces shaping our society are no longer armies or factories, but ideas and narratives that spread at the speed of light. The most significant threats we face cannot be solved by physical force, but require a fundamental transformation in how we think and perceive reality. The enslaved ancestors of many Americans understood this shift centuries ago. Forced to develop mental capacities that transcended their physical limitations, they created spiritual technologies that their oppressors could neither comprehend nor control. The ancient Egyptians, the people of Kemet, knew this when they built structures that continue to baffle modern engineers, not as mere demonstrations of physical prowess but as instruments of mental and spiritual transformation. The Mexican curanderos knew this as they preserved healing practices that worked with energy rather than matter. The Native American Vision Quest sought wisdom not through physical conquest but through mental surrender to higher awareness. These traditions were not primitive superstitions waiting to be replaced by rational thought. They were advanced operating systems for navigating multiple dimensions of reality, systems that Western civilization is only now beginning to rediscover as our purely physical solutions fail to address our deepest problems. What most fail to grasp is that this global shift toward mental primacy has been catalyzed, ironically, by the very forces that sought to suppress it. The extreme negativity that has dominated our social landscape, the lies, the corruption, the dehumanization of others, has acted as a pressure cooker for human consciousness, accelerating our evolutionary growth. When Donald Trump took office, many saw only disaster. What they missed was the massive awakening his presidency triggered, millions suddenly alert to realities they had previously ignored, forced to question assumptions they had taken for granted. The collective trauma of recent years has cracked open the cultural psyche, creating space for new awareness to emerge. This is how nature works: through challenge comes growth. The slave who survived the lash developed strengths the master never needed. The immigrant who crossed borders gained perspectives the native-born never required. The oppressed have always known that negative energy contains transformative power when properly channeled. Now this wisdom is becoming democratized. The age of mentality isn't arriving because some enlightened elite decided to usher it in, it's emerging organically as our collective survival demands it. We can no longer afford to remain trapped in one-dimensional thinking when our challenges span multiple dimensions of reality. For those who have lived their lives in the privileged bubbles of physical comfort, this shift may feel threatening. When you've been taught that physical dominance is the ultimate power, the revelation that mental mastery trumps material control can be deeply disorienting. This explains the desperate attempts to reassert physical control through walls, weapons, and wealth hoarding. But such efforts are futile. You cannot stop an evolutionary shift in consciousness any more than you can hold back the tide. The age of mentality has already begun, and its momentum is unstoppable. Those who have carried the wisdom of multiple dimensions, often silently, patiently waiting for this moment, now stand at the vanguard of human evolution. The descendants of slaves, the children of immigrants, the keepers of ancient ways who preserved their knowledge through centuries of oppression, these are the natural leaders of the emerging age. This isn't about revenge or role reversal. It's about the recognition that humanity's greatest power has always resided in the mental dimension, and those who were denied physical power often developed extraordinary mental capacities as a result. Their time has come not to dominate others as they were dominated, but to guide humanity toward a more integrated way of being. The shift won't happen overnight. Old systems don't dissolve in a day. But it is happening now, in this moment, as you read these words. The age of mentality is awakening within and around us, inviting us to claim our full potential as multidimensional beings.